Hey, greetings, everyone. It's the Monty Man here at Take 12 Recovery Radio, and this broadcast is from the best of Take 12 Radio from back in 2008. My interview with recovery recording artist and recovery music pioneer, Mr. Michael Purrington. So hold on to your hats. It's a great interview, some great recovery music, all from the best of Take 12 Recovery Radio. Here we go.
Views expressed on the Take 12 radio program do not necessarily reflect KHLT Broadcasting, sponsor-to-sponsor recovery publications, or its affiliates. The hosts and affiliates of Take 12 Recovery Radio are not allied nor represent any particular 12-step fellowship.
That first time I went to a meeting, they said anything that ain't about drinking is an outside issue. And blow. They shook their heads, said, no, 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 that's an outside issue.
And we say, yes, 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 there is no such thing as an outside issue here at KHLT Recovery Broadcasting and Take 12 Radio, kaboom.com. Welcome. This is your host, the Monty Man, and you have tuned into the world's only recovery talk and positive music station broadcasting 24/7 for you, the dysfunctional community. Welcome to Interview Friday. And I hear my friend Michael laughing in the background there. The theme song that you heard, which is our new theme song, which you have been listening to every week, we just kind of wrapped that thing up here just a few weeks ago, is by Michael Purrington, who's on the phone with me. He has been gracious enough to let us have that as our theme song. I think it's a perfect theme song because this is the show where people talk about things that they don't normally talk about out there or in meetings. And we're controversial and opinionated, but at least we're right. And that's what I think. Michael Purrington, I'm going to be introducing you to him in just a few minutes. So don't go away. We've got a little PSA here to do for you. We'll be right back.
Worries my wicked wife, my lover, my lawyer, my whole life.
This is Tom Williams
and Alicia Martinez, and we'd like to invite you to join us every Tuesday right here at take12radio.com for the Came to Believe Recovery podcast.
Topics will include a deep look into the how and why the 12-step movement was so successful in the past and how it can experience that success again today.
You can catch up on all our episodes at take12radio.com by clicking on the Came to Believe Recovery podcast banner.
Hey, everybody, you have tuned in to the best of Take 12 Recovery Radio, an interview from 2008 with Mr. Michael Purrington from Michael Purrington and the Messengers, one of the pioneers of recovery music. Now, back to our show.
And we have returned. Welcome, folks. If you just joined us, on the phone with me right now is Michael Purrington, recovery recording artist. His website, I'm going to give it to you several times as you listen to the show, quitdrinkin.com. That's quitdrinkin.com. And Michael's been on the show before, and we're featuring him today for a couple reasons, which we're going to talk about. Let me tell you just a little bit about Michael. Michael Purrington played saxophone in a dance band at age 13, quickly promoting himself to guitar shortly thereafter. At 19, he began playing professionally and started the Lost Highway Band in 1974, touring the Western United States and Canada. They released two albums and three singles, and performed with Bruce Springsteen, Willie Nelson, B.B. King, and George Thorogood, among others. Welcome, Michael, once again to Take 12 Radio, buddy.
Hey, Monty, man. Good to talk to you.
Yeah, it is. And we've talked a few times, and I always get blessed when we are able to visit. Michael has three CDs out now. And one is People With No Last Names, and the other one is I Think I'll Quit Drinking Today. And then the one the song we just heard as the intro song for Interview Friday is Promises. Before we get into the show too much, tell the listeners what this song that we just heard, because they're not going to get to hear the whole thing, because we got other music we want to listen to today. But Outside Issue, it's my favorite one on Promises. What is that all about, man?
Well, you know, there's two sides to every coin, I figure, especially in recovery. And that song, it came out for me being both sides of it. Okay, you want to focus. You want to focus on, especially the narrator in that song, and it always turns out to me be me at some point in my recovery. But the narrator is fairly new in recovery, so what he's being told is, you know, you need to focus on not drinking, okay?
Right.
You need to focus. This is an outside issue. That's an outside issue. Pretty soon the guy says, my whole life is an outside issue. And at the end of the song, he says, I guess I better stick to staying dry. But the other side of the thing is that, you know, if you don't work some steps and have some kind of a program and have help from other people, your job, your relationship, money situations, anything can affect you adversely that might lead to a drink. So.
Yeah.
It's not really an outside issue.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know. It's fun to laugh at yourself. I remember the old Candid Camera show. That was one of their things they said at the beginning of the show. It is fun to laugh at yourself like other people do. And it's funny, little nitpicky things that we can get into, particularly in this day and age in some 12-step fellowships because of the amount of folks that are not just pure alcoholics anymore. We got such cross addiction now that this whole outside issue thing can be quite an interesting topic amongst meetings. So
I call it fill in the blank.
Fill in the blank, yeah.
If I'm in a meeting that's about one certain substance, you know, I can say that substance, and
yeah.
In my own mind, I can be talking about all of it.
Yep.
You know, it's all drugs. You know.
When in Rome.
Yeah.
Michael, you've been playing recovery music now for how long?
You know, I started writing the songs in 2000, and I put out the first CD in April of 2001, and I started immediately going out and playing for people, and I got a website right away, and in 2002 was when I really put some time into effort into stocking the CDs in recovery stores around the country. So it's amazing. I use that old thing of, you know, don't push it, you know, let it do itself. And it really, people have gotten it around to other people for me.
Sure. Now, you've been playing a lot longer than you've been in recovery, right?
Oh, well, yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So what made you, get inspired to do recovery meeting? You sit down one day and say, you know, somebody needs to start writing music about the program, or what?
No, everything stopped. I stopped playing music because I had played in bars. I mean, I played constantly. We would play during the era when I was playing, we would play six nights a week, travel on Sunday, play six nights, you know, and travel on Sunday. And we were just on the road all the time. And it was mostly bars. And I burned out on that. I burned out on everything. By the time I made it into recovery, which was in 1993, I wasn't playing anymore. I wasn't interested. And so I didn't write any songs and I didn't play. And for some reason, the song, I Think I'll Quit Drinking Today, came to mind as sort of a George Jones sounding kind of song. And I thought it would be really kind of fun to do that. And it was going to be kind of a joke. And I wrote it, and it turned out to be very real when I recorded it. And shortly thereafter, a guy I was sponsoring at a meeting said, you know, I never wanted to get into recovery because I figured it would all be gloom, doom, seven up in Jesus. And I immediately jotted down that line because I went, that's a bluegrass song. So I had two songs. And then it just started happening from there. It really has been, as they say, kind of organic. I didn't think, oh, here's what needs to happen. It just started happening. In fact, I asked my sponsor at one point when I was working on the second CD, I said, why do I just write songs about not drinking? And my sponsor said, because that's all you know anything about.
Leave it to the sponsors, right?
they like to bring you right back home, you know.
I know, yeah. Pull that old rug right out from underneath me so I can get grounded again. Yeah, I hear you. Well, I got to tell you, what's really interesting is years ago, I was sitting down fiddling with my Gibson, and a buddy of mine had one of those huge, I mean, the thing was just gigantic. It was an American Indian drum of some kind. And, I mean, it was like a table. It was so big. Excuse me. And he was my first sponsor. And we're sitting there, and somebody else came. This is right after a meeting. We had this meeting at a Girl Scout hut out in the park. So after the meeting, somebody else came by, and then somebody says, well, hey, I got my this or my tambourine or something. And pretty soon we had a whole bunch of people sitting around, and I said, you know what? Somebody ought to start writing music about recovery. And so we just kind of dinked around with that a little bit and never thought anything about it again after that. And yours, I don't know what happened. It wasn't too long after I had started radio here 3 years ago that I stumbled across your site. I don't remember how that happened, but I was like, oh my goodness, somebody did this and it was awesome. And I was like, this is funny stuff. And I remember when I talked to you during our first interview, I said, it sounds to me, by listening to your music, there's somewhat of a rebel in you. And you said, not necessarily. And you talked about the two different sides of the coin on this thing, that some of this was your perception, but it wasn't, you're not saying this for us to necessarily make fun of what we might consider stupid rules, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Right. There are guidelines. There are suggestions. I one of my favorite people in recovery, an older fella, told me, and he likes to say this a lot, he says, there are as many ways to recover as there are people in recovery. Mm. And, you know, you don't give up your individuality.
Right.
What you do is, I mean, what I do is, I try to be part of this thing, you know, and then I add what I've got to it, and you know, it seems to work. It's the worst thing that I think I can ever do is try to nail it down, because it's like referring to another song. There is a God and I ain't it.
Yeah.
You know, I know two things about the infinite. There is a God and I ain't it, and that's as specific as I really want to get about it, because the minute you start to define it, the nature of the word is finite. So the solution for us in recovery is an infinite solution. And I love when a group of people get together and generate solution-oriented energy.
Mm-hmm.
You can call that God. Mm-hmm. You can call it cosmic consciousness. You can call it a group of drunks, whatever you want. But this energy gets generated, and it gets into me, and I'm closer. I'm further away from a drink when that happens.
Yeah.
So, you know,
yeah.
That's simple, really.
Right, right. The fellowship of the spirit. You don't want to miss it, folks. You really, really don't. Yeah, let's talk about the AA convention in Casper, Wyoming that's coming up that you're going to be singing at and speaking.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's going to be, I'm really excited about that because for the first time since I've been, people, I don't know, they call me up and fly me places and then I drive some places And it's the first time that I've ever done this. I'm doing a speaker meeting. And then after the speaker meeting, the guys are going to get up and we're going to play the music. And it's really exciting to me because the feeling of doing a speaker meeting, you know, is you open up.
Right.
And you reveal yourself. So I'm going to, after I reveal myself and they know who I am, which is just one of them, then after that, there's going to be a lot deeper understanding of what I'm doing with the music and with the songs.
Right. Yeah, I can.
That's pretty fantastic.
I can. That makes just total sense because you open yourself up, and then with somebody that like you that uses his music to describe even a deeper part of him. I mean, it's like getting even beyond the part that you've opened up originally, because a lot of folks we hear at speaker meetings and they're great and everything, but you see them up there behind the podium or whatever it is. And then that's it. You never see them again, or you don't hear anything more from them. Some will come to a convention, speak for an hour and then leave. You know,
right.
What you're doing, I think, is really great. And there's going to be some of this stuff going on at the 12-Step Music Fest, which we're going to be talking about here in a little bit, too. What we want to do now is I picked two songs out of your Promises CD that I don't necessarily hear that often. These two songs, I haven't actually played that often, but I really, really enjoy them. And this one is called High and Dry. And I know people like this to this very day. Tell the listeners what High and Dry is about.
High and Dry was actually my experience when I first went to meetings and tried to quit drinking in the 80s. And I actually didn't drink for 4.5 years, but I was uncomfortable. I went to some meetings and I went, okay, I got it. I know what they're doing there. I got that figured out. And I went for help to my doctor. And then I went for help to other people who could, if I wasn't sleeping, I could get something to help me sleep. If I wasn't bricky enough during the day, I could get me something to wake me up. And then I started getting headaches, and my doctor gave me a little something for the pain. So it's about not drinking by using drugs.
Right, right. And by golly, at least I didn't have a drink.
Right.
Right. Okay, folks, let's listen to this song, High and Dry.
I'm on the marijuana maintenance program. I haven't had to take a drink so far. Every time I'm tempted to go out and get drunk, I smoke a joint and stay home from the bar. High and dry, what a good boy am I. High and dry, yes, I am a sober doper guy. High and dry, my chemicals and me fill my life with pharmaceutical serenity. First thing that I did was find a doctor to prescribe codeine to ease my pain. I told him I'm in recovery and he gave me some Valium to keep me sane. High and dry, what a good boy am I. High and dry, yes I am a sober doper guy. High and dry, my chemicals and me fill my life with pharmaceutical serenity. I smoke cocaine all day to keep me working. It's 2 a.m. and I am shaking still. But I don't have to pass out on a half a case of brew. I'll just take a few sleeping pills. High and dry, what a good boy am I. High and dry, yes, I am a sober doper guy. High and dry, my chemicals in me fill my life with pharmaceutical serenity. Fill my life with pharmaceutical serenity.
I get a kick every time I hear that thing.
I gotta tell you something. This guy wanted me to sponsor him and called me his sponsor and stuff and was going to some meetings. And then he figured it out. He says, here's what I'm going to do. Okay? He says, I'm not going to drink. I'm just going to smoke pot. Yeah. And I says, well, my experience and other people I know is you smoke pot and then you forget that you're not drinking and you drink. Okay? And he said, well, I'm going to try it. And he drank. Okay? So then he says, here's what I'm going to do. I'm just going to have a few beers here and there, but not use any drugs. Not use any drugs. I says, well, the problem with that I found in my experience is you have a few beers and then you don't care if you use drugs or not. And he went out and he did that. The thing is, that's a real funny song and it's fun and all that, but you know, this stuff is fatal.
Yeah. Yeah.
No. It's actually, that's what I like best about the funny songs is it's really kind of gallows humor because we're talking about stuff that even right now somebody's dying from it.
That's right.
Lots of people are dying from it.
That's right. That's right.
And not put a damper on the laughs here, but
The deal of it is that we can laugh and have a good time, but we also let us never forget from whence we came.
And, oh yeah.
And there are folks out there listening right now. Because I've got an email like this that have given me all the, you know, all the reasons, you know, marijuana is a plant. Why should it be illegal? It's a plant. And things like, you know, it's never affected my memory. I've never gotten arrested or anything like that. You know, of course, I've alienated everybody around me and my wife left and, you know, but, you know, and all the different stuff. It's not addictive. It can't hurt you. I quit doing all other drugs. I quit doing alcohol, but I smoke pot. And one guy, I mean, everything sounded pretty convincing. And I actually wrote him back. I said, how much do you spend a month on marijuana? And I can't remember the exact amount, but it was incredible. And
right.
And the guy's on welfare.
I'm sorry I'm laughing, but I'm not sorry I'm laughing, you know? I have the guy who plays harmonica with me is a drug and alcohol counselor. And he says, marijuana steals your soul. That's how he put it.
Mm.
You know, I mean, and at the same time, I mean, you know, do whatever you want.
Yeah.
It's your life. It's your life. Yeah. Go ahead, you know? I mean, and again, too, I don't know. There are people who have one or two drinks once in a blue moon. There are people who once in a while have a couple hits of pot, and it's none of my business, but it's, you know, like I loved what you said about there's no outside issues. You know, we can just talk on your show, you know.
Yeah.
But I can give you opinions with the heck.
That's great. Now, listen, September is not too far away, and as most of the listeners know, National Recovery Month falls every September. And we do our part with Faces and Voices of Recovery and JoinTogether.org and some other things. And we have a thing here in town, which is Hands Across the Water, National Recovery Month thing. We get a bunch of addicts and alcoholics together, and we all hold hands and string across the river. And then we go, okay, that was nice.
Yeah.
But you have your involvement, too, with National Recovery Month in September. Tell us about it.
Well, there was a recovery parade here, a small recovery parade at one point, 1 year, and then they had a recovery run 1 year. There's a really nice theater here, the Missoula Children's Theater, that has donated the premises for a day, and we're having a recovery auction. And then we're going to have a performance by Michael and the Messengers. And all the proceeds are going to a county organization here that helps parents and children with drug and alcohol problems.
Yeah.
And they lost their federal funding. It was one of those deals where all this federal funding went to rural communities, and my hometown has severe problems. It's the county's about 100,000 people.
Uh-huh.
And they have severe problems, and all of a sudden these people have lost their funding, and so we're raising money for them. But the main thing is that the radio station, TV, and the newspaper are going to get behind it. So the whole thing is planting seeds. To have this thing going on and promoted through the whole month of September. So a lot of people, it can get into their heads. I mean, I tend to think a lot about the guy who sort of doesn't have a problem, but he goes home from work every night and sits down and drinks a six-pack of beer.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of talking to his wife or relating and turns on the TV. You know, I mean, different people on whatever level, if these seeds can get planted and they might think about it, who knows what it might do, you know?
Sure, sure.
So that's our thing we're doing, and it's going to be great fun. We're going to, I've already got the set. I'm working on the show, and it's going to be about an hour and a half show with the full band, and I'm really looking forward to doing that.
Now, can people access that online?
I'm going to post it on my website. And then anybody else that wants to, you know, grab it from there, and we'll spread it around the net as much as we can.
Oh, great, great. And that's at quitdrinkin, quitdrinkin.com, not ing. You'll be tempted to do that, but just pretend, right. Just pretend like you're from Montana, and you'll just say, quit drinking.
They can, yeah.
Quit drinking.
Or you're Bob Dylan. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah, you can do Bob Dylan's Drop the G for good. But anyway, you can and you can also Google Michael and the Messengers and my site.
Yep, and they can go to listeners. You can go to our links page at our site too, at take12radio.com, and you will find the link to Michael's website there too. Let's take a break. Then we'll listen to this next song. This next song is called Sick People Getting Well. And think about what you're going to share with the listeners. We'll be right back, folks.
All right.
Hey, everybody. I hope you're enjoying this broadcast from 2008 with Mr. Michael Purrington, one of the pioneers of recovery music. Now, listen, if you're enjoying this show and you would like to subscribe for fun and for free to all of our shows currently, visit us at take12radio.com and subscribe on any of the podcasting platforms listed there. Now, back to our interview with Michael Purrington.
Okay, and we have returned. And now we're listening to a song called Sick People Getting Well off of the Promises CD. Michael, what's this song about?
It's about the intellect. It's about getting... Go ahead and play the song, and then I'll kind of explain it, okay?
We will do that. Here we go.
Platitudes and attitudes. A lot of talk about gratitude. Making rules about spiritual tools, a word or two about quitting booze. Together we disagree. Am I my problem, or is it these dry fanatics on a mission, wielding cliches and traditions? Feels like I'm recovering in. Sick people, sick people, getting well. Dirty looks and self-help books and drunks who did whatever it took to stay so they could lord it over. Newcomers getting sober, druggers, muggers, tree huggers, gin sippers, beer chuggers, hippies, hicks, and uptown chicks who would not ordinarily mix. Who's new and who's got time? It's hard to tell. Sick people, sick people, sick. Getting well. Zealotry, senility,
a road of happy destiny. Masochists and analysts, I wouldn't miss a minute of this. A lot of preaching, a lot of praying, a lot of wise and worn out sayings. I didn't take a drink today, I guess it all works anyway. By now we should all be dead or in jail. Sick people, sick people, sick people, getting well. Sick people, sick people, sick people.
Wow, that's a powerful song, man.
Yeah, I have come to believe that recovery and the recovery process and recovery meetings are not irritating. What happens is I allow myself to get irritated, you know?
Mm.
And I think that song is a prime example of being able to use music to talk about things that I'm not going to talk about at a meeting.
Right.
You know, that, you know, it's, and it's something that one-on-one talking to people, everybody goes through that at different phases of sobriety. You know, that these syndromes of people maybe talking about things that would be better to talk to your sponsor about, or,
mm-hmm.
you know, all the different kinds of things you run into. And that one is like, a lot like the blues tune, I'm Bad and I'm Mad, where it goes through this whole thing. This one particularly, the enemy is the intellect, because the mm-hmm. intellect is judging and taking apart all this stuff and figuring all this stuff out and irritated by all this stuff. And then at the end, it's all redeemed by saying, I wouldn't miss a minute of this. You know, we should be dead or in jail. I didn't take a drink today. I guess it works.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, that's the magic. That's why they say, you know, don't leave 5 minutes before the miracle. That's the miracle, you know, is that it doesn't matter. You know, all these things, you know, they say there's no such thing as a bad meeting. I mean, all these things that you might run into where there's, you know, I've been at meetings where the topic was anger, and everybody got angry. You know, I was at a resentment meeting recently where everybody just all aired their resentments, you know. I mean, the point is that resentment's the number one killer, and we need to use the solutions to get beyond that, because if you're not getting further from a drink, you're getting closer to a drink. You know, I love songs like that, because I'm able to bring out stuff that we all know about.
Yeah.
You know, and we are not saints, and we don't need to act like, you know, we don't need to sound good like Mr. Humble.
Yeah, right.
Mr. Humble. We don't need to sound good. And if something is really tearing me up, I can let loose at a meeting, and I can let it out. And they're not going to kick me out, you know.
Yeah,
it's okay. It's okay. But yeah. That's one of my special favorites. I my heart is in that.
Yeah, I can tell.
I still go into that kind of phase now and then.
Sure,
you know?
Sure. Along that topic, you know, sometimes you don't have to try to intellectualize or pick apart what somebody's saying. That maybe you think they're wrong, or they're being too critical or whatever. Sometimes you don't have to do that, because they are so blatantly just rotten to the core in their attitude that day, or maybe they're just always like that. And you see them, my home group, for instance, we just moved, and because we had a parking issue, we just don't have enough room for all the cars. And so we moved, and you pull up And there's this huge, like three picture windows. You pull up and you can see in there just clearly. And when you pull up, you can, if you're not careful, see, I always tell people, don't look in the window. Wait till you get inside. Because you look in the window, you may turn around and leave. So, you know, it's like, go in, grab your cup of coffee, sit down, and then look up, you know?
Yeah.
But
and you know, some people that you talk about, some people are, and I probably have been this myself, an example of what I don't, of,
yeah.
I don't want what you have.
And
I don't want what you have.
It's, sometimes it is a little difficult to be thick-skinned and tender-hearted.
Right.
But I'll tell you, one of the things, I don't believe that meetings alone will keep you sober. I don't believe that the literature teaches that. I don't believe that the literature alone will keep you sober. You know, we're talking about a power greater than yourself. I mean, what happens if the meetings, in some parts of the world, you can't have any kind of meeting that would even talk about even a hint of a supreme being? Because
Right. Because
of the communist government and so forth. And so what happens if the meetings disband and you can't read the literature? We know countries where if you even have a piece of the Bible, they'll imprison you, you know.
Yeah.
Well, you better be able to keep sober. You better be able to keep clean, you know, through this power greater than ourselves that can restore us to sanity. But I lost my train of thought there. When you go into a meeting... And that's what I was going to say. One of the things that meetings, amongst many things, have taught me, and I always love sharing this with people that I have on the show, is I learned how to speak in front of people without freaking out.
Right.
I learned how to become thick-skinned and tender-hearted. Before I was so thin-skinned, when I first came into the program, Michael, you could crush me with a word.
Oh, yeah.
One word. You know, so I learned to be thick-skinned and tender-hearted. I learned tolerance. I learned patience. I learned empathy, you know, and I learned humility. And some people say, well, if you talk about humility, you don't know anything about it. And then those very same people talk about it for 15 minutes.
See, that's what you just said.
Yeah.
What you just said is exactly what my music is about. You know, I mean, in that one line... I'm my own worst enemy when I'm proud of my humility.
Right.
I mean, I first thing that happened to me was I walked in, there were signs on the wall. One sign said, don't think, don't drink, go to meetings. Over a little ways away was a sign that said, think. And I said, what?
Yeah.
You know? And so I started talking to people, and somebody said to me, that think, that means think, drink through.
Yeah, right.
Think the drink through. Don't think, don't drink, go to meetings means, you know, don't think about whether or not you need a meeting. Just go to the meetings, you know. And these things, it all boils down to what we call a higher power.
Mm-hmm.
There are so many different points of access to a higher power, you know, that, I mean... I even had a buddy one time, and I know a lot of people would have jumped on him for this, but he said to me, he says, I feel like I have a higher power within myself. I have a better self that I can turn to. And I think that's true, too. I mean, I blurted out the other day at a meeting, you know, I always... knew the difference between right and wrong. It was just that when I was drinking, I didn't care.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And a lot of times I would get so drunk that I wasn't aware of the difference between right and wrong.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and those things are in us. They've always been there. I mean, we say God is everything or God is nothing. So if God is everything, that means I just want to be part of everything. I don't want to be separate from I was separate from everything. My drinking made me so that eventually, especially, I was one of the guys that, you know, that song Drinking Alone, I had the shades pulled, I had the phone unplugged, and I had the door locked, you know, because I was drinking.
Yeah.
And that's just the outside. The inside is this black hole. And it's escaping. to nothing.
Yeah.
It's dying but still being alive, and I don't ever want to be there again, you know?
Yeah. Amen to that. But, yeah.
So, I mean, you know, this music just is part of what helps me. I've gotten, just like you have with your radio show, you know, the feedback that you get by doing something a little extra, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I had a guy tell me that he was heading to the bar to drink, and he hadn't been listening to any music on his radio for a long time, and he turned it on, and my CD was in there.
Mm.
And he started listening, and he started laughing, and he didn't go to the bar. I mean, just that one single incident is good enough reason for me to keep doing this.
Yeah, that's great. That's great stuff. Folks, Michael Purinton, he'll be performing on the main stage at the Coffee House Stage 2, along with, now here's some of the names I'll throw out there. Of course, we know that Peter Tork will be there for the Monkees and his band, Shoe Suede Blues. Hey, I said it without stumbling. And then Don Wilder, Los Diablos, Self-Esteem from Connecticut. Those guys are great. I had an opportunity to spend a good part of the day with them last year, and they're just a hoot, those guys. The Freight Hoppers from North Carolina, Blackfinger from Florida, and, of course, Lauren Adams, our friend Lauren Adams. She's from California. She's a great gal. And then Gracie Van Diver, she'll be there. She's from Tennessee. And she's got...
Fight of the Spirit.
Yeah, yep. That website that we're linked to, and just a whole bunch of other folks. There's going to be a ton of music going on and a ton of fun. It really, really is. And you know what's so cool? I was talking to Ann Kelly from 96.5 The Fox in Bakersfield, California, the other day, and she MCs the Freedom Festival down in L.A. every year, and we were talking about the previous years that we've been there and how they have – the city has assigned some, you know, security for around the gates. And the guys that are actually assigned to it say it's the most boring job they've ever had.
Yeah.
There's nothing to do, you know.
With no booze or drugs, I mean, who's acting up?
Yeah, but everybody's having a blast, man. People are dancing.
Yeah.
You know, I thought people danced crazy when they were high. Oh, my goodness. You get one of us that used to be, we're dopers, and we get out there clean and sober dancing. It is the funniest looking thing you ever saw.
Oh, yeah.
It is just an absolute blast.
So much energy is.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. So this is, once again, a four-day event, November 6th through the 9th. It is in the Florida Keys, Sugarloaf KOA Campground. Tickets on sale now at 12stepmusic.fest, or go to the link at take12radio.com. It proves to be an absolute a mountain mover of an event for recovery music, and just a good old time, clean and sober. Michael, thank you so much for being on with us today.
Oh, I've really enjoyed it, Monty.
Yeah, I love having you on, man. It's always good stuff. And thank you for loaning us your song, Outside Issues, for our Interview Friday.
All right.
Folks, until our next broadcast, this is the Monty Man, along with Michael Purinton. And we are wishing God's serenity for you.
I guess I better stick to staying dry.
I'm calling your sponsor.
This has been a broadcast of KHLT Radio.
Kitty.
Oh my goodness. Well, if you've been tuning in to our show for the last 20 plus years, maybe that brought back some memories. I know it sure did for me. Boy, did we have some pretty awful sound equipment back then. Hey, listen, if you've enjoyed this show, this is just a sample of what we've got. We've got thousands of interviews with recovery recording artists, politicians, authors, clinical professionals, but most importantly, the average Joe in recovery, or Jane, if you will, just like you and I, sharing our experience, strength, and hope with each other. So if you would like to tune into our shows for fun and for free, we would encourage you to subscribe on any of the podcasting platforms listed at take12radio.com. All right. Until our next broadcast, this is the Monty Man. And like I said before, even back then, I am wishing God's perfect serenity for you. Bye-bye now.